place, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And today we have an amazing guest, somebody that I have had the pleasure of getting to know in the last year, someone who I personally admire for her success. Welcome to the show, Michelle Churchill-Dworak.
Hello. Thank you. It's such an honor to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. I know we've been talking about this ever since we were in Cabo. We've been so excited to have this conversation and help so many people. So it's exciting that today's finally the day.
Very exciting.
Yay. So let me tell my audience about your background. Michelle is a powerhouse in the business world with over 6 years experience in network marketing. She's based in Michigan, which is awesome because I just moved from LA to Cincinnati this week, and now we're neighbors. We're 5 hours away. She is known for her leadership skills and her dedication to empowering others. In 1 year, she gained over, and I know you have more updated numbers that you can wow us with, but I'm just going by your bio. In 1 year, she gained over 2,000 new customers, 116 new team members, bringing her total to 7,900 customers and 300 recruits. Her success lies in her action-oriented approach and strategic implementation of proven methods without relying on traditional methods like home parties or meetings. So, Michelle, I know I've heard your story and just been blown away by it. Tell us, how did you go from frustrated HR exec, single mom with all these different jobs, to being one of the most successful people in network marketing?
All right. Thank you again for having me, Rebecca. I'm super excited. So I was the girl who was always a very hard no to network marketing, really doing anything online. I actually always like to start off with an apology because I was a hard no to the fact that I didn't even know what I was saying no to. I used to sit around with my sisters on holidays, and sometimes, you know, back 6 years ago, it wasn't as much as it is now, but they'd be, you know, promoting something or talking about something that they loved. And I truly thought deep down inside that they were just, you know, married, had nothing else better to do, and they maybe made like $100 to go get their nails done. So fast forward to a time in my life where I was a full-time HR specialist. And it's kind of funny because if you were to ask me, why did you go to school for HR? I was actually going for business. But when I found out I had to take statistics, I was like, there's no way. I tested into elementary algebra. I went into the counselor's office and I was like, whatever degree is kind of close to business that I can go for that doesn't require math. And it was HR. So I had a 9 to 5. It was somehow an 8:30 to 5:30 here in Metro Detroit. It was at an engineering firm. I did an internship there and then I was hired on direct. And I had a 30-minute commute to and from work. So when you're younger, you don't really look at that 5 hours a week that's being spent in the car as much as when you become older, time becomes valuable. But I have to say the best part of my entire day was coming home to, at the time, my daughter, who is Isabella, and she was 2 years old. And I literally would get home at 6 and she was sleeping by 7. Because I didn't have a choice. So I would make dinner, I'd give her a bath, I'd put her in bed, and I actually went in the basement where I did hair. So I went part-time high school, and then I went part-time co-op for cosmetology school. And instead of taking off summers to party between sophomore, junior, and senior year, I went full-time cos school. So when I graduated from high school, I had a diploma, and I went and took my state boards and had a cosmetology license. So I was doing hair in the basement ethically. And by the time I got done doing hair and just kind of cleaning up and going to the bathroom, it was midnight. So I'd hop in bed, I'd wake up, and I did that grind all over again. And I was a single mom. I was divorced from Bella's dad a year after being with him. And so weekends, with the $60,000 I brought in on debt, and just being a single mom, having all the payments by myself, I actually went off and cleaned houses. So cumulatively, I'll never forget when I kind of broke down, I was spending like 7 to 10 hours max a week, quality time with my child, really not involved in her life. And as much as that was hard, it was more hard when she started hitting milestones that I wasn't a part of. Started to get a lot of guilt and a lot of resentment. Like, what am I even doing? And over time, when something like that builds up, whether maybe in your life right now, you're struggling with something, and over time, you just had enough is enough, and it kind of blows up in your face. And it was on a Monday, I went into work, you know, as the HR specialist, and I was put on as a case to eliminate a group of employees. And this specific group of employees had been with the company for over 10 years. And it was a hard pill for me to swallow. Like, how am I going to do this? Like, how am I going to, like, I hope I don't start crying. And anyways, obviously I did it. It was my job. I pulled up my big girl pants. But that night when I got into my car after work, it was really crazy because when I put my car into reverse, I really started to see my life, the future life of me, like in my rearview mirror of just remembering that I'm only getting a 3% raise. I'm commuting 5 hours a week and not, you know, getting compensated for that. I don't have the freedom. I don't have the flexibility. With $60,000 in debt, I'm really not going to be able to retire till I'm probably in my 80s. And it was really like a holy crap. A rock bottom moment, but yet a learning moment, like a pivotal moment where I need to do something different, but I couldn't quit my job. So life just kind of carried on and I went home and that night, it's kind of crazy when it's a bad day because it feels like when it rains, it pours because when I got home, Bella was very indifferent as well. She was usually a very good baby. You know, we make dinner, give her a bath, give her, you know, read her a book, me. And when I put her in bed that night, she started just kind of screaming and crying about how all mom does is work. She was young, so it was just like, mom, no hair, mom, no basement. I love mom. I miss mom. And full-fledged tears, not just like, oh, I'm crying to cry, like tears pouring out of her eyes. And I looked at her and I had to go downstairs in the basement where I had to do hair because I was so broke living paycheck to paycheck, money being the issue that if I chose to just not work because of that reason, it would be to the point where I couldn't put food on the table. So I went in the basement and did hair, and that next night, that night I went to bed, and the next day, I just started to kind of just think about just anything. Like, what can I do? I need something. I need help. I've come to a moment in my life where something needs to change, and things would come at me like, oh, here's a waitressing job. And I was like, no, not that. There's no freedom. There's no flexibility. And months actually went by. Like, time went by. Lots of time went by, and I actually was on social media. There was a girl that previously had posted asking for a therapy session for couples because her and her partner always were fighting over money and their last straw was to get help. And it was crazy because this night that I went online, she was the first one that came up on a post and she looked happy. And I'm like, oh, maybe something helped her. Like, I need a good therapist. So I click on her page. Listen to this. I had no social media besides Facebook. So I was on Facebook, 200 friends, no Instagram, no TikTok, no YouTube. That was it. And when I clicked on her page, I wouldn't even know what a story is, but I scrolled and there was this video. And I just pressed play on it. It's very late, press play on it. And I literally jumped out of bed and I was like, holy crap, I found the solution. Like, I found that if there are people out there who can become positive, which is a decision, become coachable, which is a decision, and literally having willingness to grow, which I was living a life of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and over again. I only had to find like power pockets of my day. Like, I did have to sacrifice waking up 20 minutes early.
This girl, and does she know that she changed your life forever?
Yeah, but she actually was out of the industry. She quit.
What's her name? Let's give her a shout out.
So you know what? Like, it's been so long. So she was a nurse. She was I know. So how bad is that? I think it was Nikki or Nicole.
And what was she doing that helped her get positive? Was she doing a network marketing?
Network marketing. She was doing, actually my previous company, she was doing health and wellness. So she was doing workout programs. I was previously Beachbody.
She was your sponsor in Beachbody?
No, she wasn't my sponsor because when I went to go actually see what it was that she was doing, like, you know, actually got the audacity to be like, oh my gosh, here we go. I'm going through old posts. She had given up.
That is such a lesson, you guys, because Michelle is literally one of the biggest record setters in the history of this entire profession. And someone like that could be on your team if you don't give up. You just never know. Like, I love the saying, you're one conversation away from changing your entire existence. So that's a really powerful story. So you did Beachbody. Why did you leave that? How did you meet John Melton to start? John Melton, who has also been on the show, how did you meet him to start in the company that we're in now, Modere?
So I'm pouring into myself through all this personal development because I have no social media. I have no clue what the heck it is that I'm doing. And I come across a chapter, and whenever there was someone who had success or kind of tugged my heart a little bit, I'd go stalk. And I'm reading Six Figures to Success by Rob Sperry. Good book. That was always my like number one goal, is like six figures. I don't know what it was about it. So I'm reading it and I come across and I went on his page and I started stalking him. And I'm like, wow, his energy is amazing. And I honestly was content with where I was at. Like, I didn't know there was anything else out there, right? I wasn't looking for anything. I was a top income earner in my previous company. And when I started listening to John talk and listening to John's trainings, I finally reached out. And by asking him questions, I learned what it is that I didn't have, which was, you know, systems, proper leadership, and hero products. And without those, the little bit of imbalance can really cause a havoc on what it is that you're doing and stop you from going next level. So a year after talking to him and a year after him following up, which he's just a dynamite in that, never pressured me to come join his business, I finally was like, you know what? I can see on the other side of this how many more people I could help. So I took the leap of faith. I was so high up in the company, a week later, all my income was taken away from me. And now the rest has been history because, crap, I mean, just in the month of November, my personal customer pod all by myself was 80,000, wow. Let alone a team, you know, globally, you know, pulling in 200 to 250 to 300,000 on a monthly basis. So it's really just jumping into that leap of blind faith in being positive and coachable and just not listening to what's telling you in your head, but listening to the person that's actually done it. And when you feel that rubber band trying to like pull really tight, kind of leaning into it to go do what is uncomfortable.
That is so beautiful. And we only have a couple minutes before the commercial break. I would say your story is, it's just so inspirational. What do you think, because you became a top producer in Beachbody, which is now not even network marketing, right? Is it bankrupt or is it affiliate? I don't even know.
Yeah, it's affiliate, and it's gone from like commissions that were 25% down to like now 20% to only affiliate. So it does not look well.
Yeah. So when we come back from the break, I want to hear how you rose through the ranks of that company with no prior experience in the industry, not having systems like you do now. And then after that, we're going to get into your famous show, The Breakfast Show. So everybody, we're going to cut to a commercial break. My name is Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. We're taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Don't go anywhere, because after this break, Michelle Churchill is going to talk about how she rose up the ranks in her first network marketing company and how she launched her own online show. We'll be right back. Okay, everyone, welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman. We've got Michelle Churchill Dworak here, one of the top leaders in the online business, network marketing, home-based business world. And from the start, she went from, you know, being a frustrated HR exec, working multiple jobs, cleaning, doing hair in her basement, to finding network marketing through someone on Facebook who now she doesn't even remember their name. It's okay. She was like your angel. And then she rose through the ranks. So what happened in Beachbody? Like, how did you rise through the ranks and what was your journey like there? And then we'll talk about your super successful breakfast show.
Well, goodness gracious, I really wanted like overnight success, which doesn't happen. And a funny story is one of the trainers in Beachbody, her sister was a coach. So when I figured, okay, I'm going to do this, and the gal I wanted to do it with that was so successful had freaking quit, I'm going to pick the trainer's sister because she's going to make me famous. Well, she didn't really know what she was doing. So she's no longer a part of them either. So I jumped in and I'm like, you know what? It's sink or swim. So I literally YouTubed everything. I was on YouTube. I was like, how to create a challenge group, how to follow up with people, how to start conversations with people, how to create content, how to not be a spammy whammy butthole. Like, I'm talking all of my time in the shower. I became laser focused, obsessed. There was no sitting in the car listening to music. There was no just doing my hair, wondering what I'm doing tonight. Like, everything was pouring into myself and following people in network marketing, like number one network marketer books, and I would buy them and I would read them and I'd listen to them, and I just started implementing what it is that they were doing. And I did it, and I failed a lot, and I sucked, and I was probably that spammy person because it was a numbers game, but I had no following and I had to start from nothing, and I'd pay for followers and then they'd be bots. But it led me to where I am today. And without those things, which a lot of people don't understand, is it's really good that we all start where we start at zero and can move forward to hero. Because when you do come across someone, like when I met you, I was at a level where I could actually have a conversation with you and build a relationship with you, versus before I was this girl who didn't have the skill set and didn't have the maturity level. So we all start at that area for a reason, but so many people want to stand back and kind of stay in that fear and don't want to take action on the trainings that they hear or hear from people like John Melton or yourself. This is what's working, but they choose to not do what's working, and they continue doing the same thing they were doing over and over and over again, like I was doing with three jobs as a single mom. And sooner or later, you just have to realize you have to, you know, poop or get off the pot, right? So with me, I knew I didn't want to be in the space of corporate America. I wanted to be home. I wanted flexibility. I wanted freedom. And I know a lot of people in the industry that have made a lot of money, and I wanted that. So I just continue to remind myself of that. You hear in personal development, it's not luck. It's you get in, it's performance-based. You have skills that you can learn. And just like anything in life, over time, you keep doing it and you don't give up and you don't quit, and you'll be successful. And that's honestly what has happened.
So what were some of the biggest mistakes that you were making when you were new in the profession and that you see other new people make that maybe you can help? And not just network marketing people are listening to this show, but entrepreneurs, salespeople. What are some common mistakes that you see people making?
Not following up. And it's something that you automatically think that when you send someone a message that they are ignoring you or they're not interested. And not getting an answer at all is at least better than a take me off of your list. And even a no is not bad. It's just no, not right now. Because even when I help people now and they talk to me about it, there's tons of people who I get in their inbox because I see potential in them, and they don't respond because they didn't see the message. They didn't respond because they didn't realize it was in a message request folder or a spam folder. And then like 6 weeks down the line, if I continue seeing their stuff come up or their stories and I comment, they're like, oh my gosh, this was inside of my spam folder and I'm just now seeing this. I feel like a complete you know what. But they're like, she never gave up. People and humans and real people, they love persistence. They love ethical. Just like any company that's out there that's thriving, they're persistent, they're ethical, they're always looking for the next best thing, they're looking for good people, they're constantly following up. Something that I learned that was a game changer for me, because I wasn't the girl to follow up, was how many emails do you have in your inbox right now from different companies? Oh my gosh, tons.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you go to that company right then and there and do you get something from them? Or do you go to the store and use that coupon? No. Do they ever give up on you? No.
Never.
But when you want to go buy something and you need new eyeglassware, are you going to go to Warburg Parker? Because they're always, yes. So it's like you have to realize that instead of being the victim, pour into yourself more, you know what I mean? And be the victor in the situation and just realize it's not right now. I'm going to continue to invite, follow up, pivot the conversation. And when there's a promotion or something, I'm going to think of you. I'm going to ask if you're open now because timing is everything. And if not, I still love on you and I'm going to love on you. And when it's the right time, it'll be the right time. And sooner or later it is. I mean, it's a statistical fact that it takes 6-7 approaches to get someone to say yes to you. And it's not like it used to be. People want relationships. People hire people not because they want that brand. They know, like, and trust you. They like you. You make them feel better inside. They want to be more like you. Do they want to be like the person who just sits there and shows up on the 28th of the month and they're just like, hey, listen? Or are they the person that's like, all month she's pouring into me through content, showing up on the breakfast show, making me laugh. She's sassy. She's always documenting behind the scenes what it is that she's doing. Just like the show that you probably love, right? Like, how crazy is it that we'll sit and watch the Kardashians or whatever it is because we feel like we can know, like, and trust them. We feel like we're in their living room. And it's the same when it comes to being an entrepreneur, whether you're in the real estate space, whether you're in the mortgage industry, whether you own a restaurant. It's all around one thing, which is relationship building and overcoming objections that the person you're talking to doesn't have enough information about the solution you have to their problem. And you need to ask them questions to guide them to realize that. But instead of asking questions, they say no, you pull back, and you think they're a no forever. When really, they just couldn't afford it at that time, but you didn't ask. When really, maybe there's a payment plan option, even if you're the, you know, that you can get into, that they could start affording it, and then maybe they could even partner with you. But what happens is we hear no, and we automatically have this wall that comes up, and we stop. And that's not where we should be stopping. That's where we should be pushing harder to figure out, okay, wait. What is this person actually saying no to? And honestly, I wish that Gail would have said that to me, because that Gail, when I reached out to her and wanted to partner with her, when I was kind of stalking her from afar, I'll never forget when she invited me. I was cleaning a house and I was like, who does she think she is? First of all, is she calling me overweight? She wants me to be a beach body coach. So if she would have actually asked, because we had a relationship somewhat, and I looked up to her and I thought she was cool and I thought she was pretty and had a nice body, like I probably would have been like, if she would have actually walked me through, like, what isn't good for you? This, well, I don't have a social media. I'm not a, and would have actually said things like I didn't either. I most likely would have overcome those objections and sooner or later partnered sooner than when I did, so that she would have stayed in the, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So you have to think about those things, but no one does.
That is a great point. Now, how did you come up with the concept of the breakfast show? Was that your own idea? Were you learning that from a coach? Like, how did that whole thing come about?
So, gosh, holy crap.
What is it? Like, what is the breakfast
show? Yeah, it's hilarious is what it is. I was at an event with someone, and I'm all about, like, when I hear people say how much money they make, it's cool, but it's, like, even cooler if I can see it. And this girl shows up her screen to show like numbers from last year to like what they're projecting for this year. And I see like what she made in a month. And I'm like, and she's telling us what she's doing. She's going live. And I'm like, okay, well, I've never gone live in my life. And I only have a phone. She's like, I'm live in three places at once. I'm like, that means I need three things. So I need to go buy like an iPad or use Bella's. And I'm going to take my husband's phone. I need three things. Cause if I'm going live, but then I'm like, oh my God, I can't go live on TikTok because I don't have 1,000 followers, but I need to start creating reels. So it gets become overwhelmed. And when you become overwhelmed, sometimes that pain, that growing pain, actually holds you back instead of you just kind of pushing through. To know that on the side of those growing pains, when you do feel overwhelmed, it's kind of a good thing because something big and good is happening. So I just went in and kind of started doing what she was doing with reels and what was working and giving a lot of value so that people would follow me. And when they did, I started going live. But my live was me sitting behind the curtain, just standing like this. And literally it was horrible. It was horrible. And it was like, this is how, and it was like a robot. And then I did that for like probably 6 months to 9 months. And then I just kept hearing the word in like all of my personal development, be real, be you, have messy hair, don't stand like you're a robot. And I'm like, huh, you know what? I'm just going to make breakfast in my freaking kitchen. And I'm going to do, I remember 100.3, they had like the breakfast club or something, the breakfast, whatever they had, the breakfast club, I think. And I'm going to name it the breakfast show. And I'm going to go every morning and I'm going to make breakfast with, and I did it. And it's just started just over time. And now I have some lunch episodes I do. We show up on some evening episodes, which are never, we never have the evening episode recorded. So when they do see me live in the evenings, they stay on. And I just make breakfast and I talk about what's working for me. And some days I'm in a really good mood. Some days I'm kind of down. Some days I'm kind of like feisty and you can feel it. And it's all about like, okay, this is today, but we're going to make it better by doing this. And people ask questions and I tell them what's helped me with this and that. And it just ends up being this huge 1 hour session of a lot of fun, a lot of learning, and a lot of people who actually keep coming back that are like, Michelle, I started implementing X, Y, and Z. And not only are me and my husband like on dates again in love, but I've lost 14 pounds or I've done this, because they're pouring into themselves through books that I've been reading. They had no clue about. They poured into themselves like, I'm just going to set a water timer every 90 minutes on my phone and drink more water. And now their lives just over time by me sharing that. And there's billions of people. So at first I'm like, this is going to get real old real quick. And there were a few negative Nancys that were like, do you ever want to do lunch recipes? And it's like, do you know how many new people I reach every day? Like, I show up different every day and I'm not a robot. And sometimes I'm screaming at the dogs So I don't like, you just don't listen to those people. You just don't listen to them.
I am, we are in the middle of a move, so we have a contractor here. So I'm going to have you talk about some of your favorite health and wellness tips, because you have helped so many people reach their weight loss goals through a very specific method. So this is part of what The Breakfast Show is, where you teach people how to get in shape, lose weight through your method. So tell us a little bit about what you're teaching as far as your health and wellness tips.
Yeah. So when I start the breakfast episode, I try to not just make breakfast with you. I try to have a why behind it. Like, why am I doing this? What am I doing this for? So as we're making breakfast, I'm like, hey, like, listen, rule number one is like every meal and every snack needs to be 20 grams of protein. One of the biggest reasons why I struggled to drop weight after having a child was because I was deficit in protein. You know, I was doing all the things, but I wasn't doing three things that are very critical. And how I learned that was 11 months of trying everything. I was unsuccessful. I went in for an annual blood work. I do it all the time. I didn't even go in because of my weight. And I actually got a clean bill of health. And I actually got my doctor saying, like, we could try metformin. And I'm like, you know what? I was kind of starting to, like, get the Audible app, and I could get any books I wanted unlimited. I started reading the book, The Obesity Fix, and then I'd go into a new book that was recommended and a new book. And before I know it, I'm listening to, like, 20 books total. And I'm like, they're saying the same thing about protein, water, and mindset. And I'm just not, it's not clicking for me. Finally, it clicked. So I found a gal that had dropped the weight that I did, and kind of brought her on as accountability partner. And she said the same thing. I don't know why it takes 100 times sometimes for us to hear something. And it was 100 grams minimum, Michelle. And I just couldn't get that out of my head. Like, no way. Or I wouldn't believe her. And I'd just be like, she's wrong. 400 calories is 100 grams of protein. That's it. The 100 grams of fat I was getting a day was 900 calories, okay? So there's 4 calories per gram of protein, 4 calories per gram of carb, 9 calories per gram of fat.
I'm going to stop you here. We have to cut to a commercial break, but don't go anywhere, because when we come back, Michelle is going to give us some of her favorite high-protein foods, because I have heard the same thing, and I'm just like, where the heck am I going to get that much protein, especially because I'm a pescatarian. I don't eat chicken or meat or pork. And I'm like, where can I get that much protein? So I want you to tell us some of your hacks for getting more protein and your water hacks and all this stuff, because you have lost how many pounds?
30 pounds. I went from 180 to 150 in 5 months after struggling for 11 months to drop even an inch.
That is incredible. So everyone, we are going to cut to a commercial break. I'm Rebecca Whitman. I'm here with my guest and friend, Michelle Churchill Dworak. She's going to talk about how she dropped 30 pounds using a very specific method that you definitely want to hear. So we'll see you in a couple minutes. Hello, everyone. We're back. And I'm so excited for this segment, because Michelle is going to talk about how she dropped 30 pounds. One of the key elements is getting 100 grams a day of protein. Give us some of your favorite high protein foods, snacks, or meals to make this happen.
So Greek yogurt, never would have guessed, is awesome. Cottage cheese. And a little tip, if you ever just cover the last number of any calories you're eating, so say it says 200, you cover the last number, you're left with 20. Is there 20 grams of protein or greater when you go down to protein? That's what tells you if it's a good bang for your buck. So the Greek yogurt with the fruit on the bottom that I was getting was 180 calories, and there was only 14 grams of protein. So if we cover the last number of 180, we're left with 18. Is there 18 or greater? It wasn't a good bang for my buck. So that is how you will know.
Okay, wait, so the total calories, you minus the grams of protein, or you minus the
protein? No. All you do is you cover the last number of the calorie. So if something's 400 calories, you cover the last number, you're left with what, 40?
40.
Go down to protein. Is there 40 or greater?
Oh, that's a cool hack.
Yes. So that's how I started to realize, like, the things that is my protein powder good? Well, let me go see. 150 calories. Cover it. I'm left with 15. Oh, crap. Is there 15 grams? There's 21. Good. I got a good one. Because not everyone, some people have things. I don't want you to go throw things out. So that's number one, cottage cheese, Greek yogurt. I love getting, and some people are kind of against like lunch meats, but you can get really good lunch meat that's low in sodium behind the deli. I just like put turkey bacon, turkey sausage, egg whites, tofu for you, tempeh, edamame is really good. Any kind of plant-based protein powders you can make, really delicious pancakes, muffins, protein bars. There's a no-cow bar that's vegan. So there's a lot, you're better off supplementing than you are being deficit in protein. So those are a lot, any meats, any fish, any seafood, any type of pork, but like you said, you don't eat that, but there's still, I don't know if you eat fish, but anything you can think of like that.
Yeah, it's eggs. So yeah, those are all great. And then let's talk about your other two things. It's what?
Water.
Yeah. Steps.
Yeah, no, water and mindset. So self-sabotaging, but steps are in there as well, because if you're not getting 7,500 steps, they tell us, you know, that we're considered sedentary, and a lot of negative things start to happen when our bodies go into sedentariness. But what's crazy is I just remember growing up and hearing the news talk about 8 cups of water. And what's crazy is the term liposuction, which is what people go get done to get suck fat out of them, actually came from the holistic approach of how your body holistically burns fat through something called lipolysis. And for it to go through the process of hydrolysis, it needs half of your weight in ounces of water. And if you think of water, it's H2O, it's a bond. So if you add Mio and Crystal Light and Diet Pepsi and coffee to all these things, is it still going to be an H2O bond? And the answer is no. You can still have all of those things, but you need half of your weight in ounces of water every day to go through this process. Your metabolism is only changing at the age of 30 from at 0.02% and over. And that's annually. But this is becoming a decline of like 10x because the dehydration, because of the lack in protein, and because of the lack in sedentariness. So if you're seeing that your metabolism has plunged, those are the reasons why. So it's half of your weight in ounces of water. One of my biggest hacks for that is to wake up with a sticky note right on your cell phone, drink 15 Mississippi's worth of water in every 90 minutes, like right before the show, my watch goes off and I make myself drink 15 Mississippi's worth of water.
Plain water. You don't
plain water.
Supplements, yep. lemon, anything.
You can add lemon to it. You can add lime. You can add strawberries. You can add anything fresh like that. And I'll enjoy having some minerals and stuff like that. But I do make sure that I get half of my weight in ounces of just plain water every day.
Incredible. And then they say that sitting is the new smoking.
Oh, yeah.
So then 7,500 steps. And then what is the mindset work that you recommend people do? Other than listening to this awesome show, the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show.
I know, right? So a lot of it is, I used to have binge addiction. You know, I used to be the girl who was like, at 4 o'clock every day, I could eat, you know, I'm a good eater, but then 4 o'clock, I just can't stop eating and I binge, and it's me after 5 o'clock, I snack. And what you say is what you bring more of. It's crazy. We have all these things like Google and AI and Google Maps. It's crazy that your body is the same thing. You type in how to get somewhere, your body's going to work to have you go do what it is that you're telling it to do. Like, it's insane. I know. I used to look at my therapist and be like, yeah, right. What a waste of money. Just give me a pill. But it's true. Sincerely. He'd be like, I'm like, I cannot stop eating peanut butter cups. He's like, just look in the mirror and tell yourself that. I'm like, okay, this is so stupid. But it's true. Like what you say, what you
are doing now, they're just saying, oh, shut up and just give me a pill. And they're taking Ozempic.
Yes. Yes. And we talk about that on the show. That's just tricking the brain. Just like a pill is that you have the GLP-1 hormone in your body when you do not. Okay. That's why it's like taking a Tylenol in the morning. You have a headache and your headache decreases, but then nighttime comes and your headache came back. So when you realize that you have to change a paradigm, you have a shift. You have to repeat what it is that you've been telling yourself in present tense as if it's already happened. So when I was 180 pounds, I used to walk around and go, I am so happy and I am so grateful now that I am 150 pounds. And I would say that on repeat over and over and over and over and over again until that paradigm shifted. So mindset is a lot of it, because you're sitting here telling me I struggle to lose weight. I can't drop any weight. You step on a scale and you see a number, and that number defines you, because your body is staying at that number because you keep looking at it. It is not healthy to go on a scale every day in any way, shape, or form.
I agree.
So, I think so. Adding personal development, yeah, into your life, change your paradigm, change your life. 10 minutes minimum a day. You know, I just read the book Audible Let Them by Mel Robbins. I'm constantly pouring into myself with books while I'm driving, just because there is so much in our environment and so much around us with the technology that we have that your brain sometimes needs to stop and be poured into and remember really who's in control of the steering wheel and your thoughts, and it's freaking you. So those are the key components, I would say.
That is amazing. So one of the things I love about your training is how you tell your story. What kind of tips do you have for our listeners on how to master storytelling?
So, okay. So I always like, this was something that was really hard for me. I think over time you get better at it, but you can break it up into a great approach. Eric Worre is an amazing businessman, and this is anyone who has a business. So you always want to think about what your background is or what it was. And even if you're a stay-at-home mom, right? So my background was in human resources. Okay. You have a pain point. There's something that is a pain point right now that you have. Even if you're a teacher, maybe you feel like you're underpaid. Maybe you feel like you're not paid for the hours when you go home and grade, test, or, you know, you're gone in conferences 4 nights out of the week, you know, 3 nights out of the year, whatever it is. So you have a background and you have a pain point. Then you have a solution. I found that if I could be positive and coachable and find 4 hours a week, they could be 10 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 20 minutes there, I could blank. And I'm excited because, why are you excited? I'm excited because I started earning an additional blank per month. But even more, I've helped more people who were once like me struggling. They couldn't have the extra hair appointment without getting the box color. Be able to say yes to that because they found the same solution that I did. So like with anything, you know what I mean? A realtor, you know, my background was in blank. Maybe you wanted to work in the evenings and you couldn't work in the evenings. You found that you could and you're excited because there's people out there who are like you who want the same freedom or flexibility. The wife can be home in the evenings and they can go make a really good income doing those kind of things in the evening. So storytelling, you always have a background, right? Mm-hmm. You always find a solution. Background was I was 880 pounds, tried everything, struggled, didn't drop pound for 11 months, found that I was deficit in protein and water and telling myself mm-hmm. that I was a binge addict. Mm-hmm. I found the solution. I'm excited because I feel freaking amazing. I got instant results and I've helped more people than I can count on my fingers and toes now be able to do the exact same thing without having to do a shot, without having to do. So that's how you tell a story and you get really good at it by just creating it in your head. At first I was like, wait. But once you start saying it and manifesting around it, it'll all start to come together.
You are so disciplined when it comes to your personal growth, your diet, your exercise, your mindset work, your network marketing business. What are some of the ways that you kind of time block or do time management because you are getting such massive results, but you're still there for your daughter to pick her up at school every day? So tell us how you are structuring your day and your time to get so much success.
So number one, I know that if I don't get up and get some things done before Bella gets to school, then that means that when she goes to bed, I'm just working later. So I'm missing out on my sleep because I, every single night, plan the night before what the next day is going to look like. Like I know everything. And I think when you do that and you know actually when you're doing something, what time you're going to the gym, what time you're taking a class, what time you're doing this at, that you actually show up the next day and have like a 50% or greater chance of doing it just by planning that out, even if it's just writing it out or actually time blocking it in your calendar. So when I first was in the business, I was like, okay, well, I didn't have any time at all. I would wake up 20 minutes earlier, made myself know exactly what I was doing, set timers. Like, this is a task I need to do every day. I need a 5-minute timer. Otherwise, I'm going to soak up all 20 minutes. And now I only did one task. You can't be like that. So I would set timers. I would time block 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there. And on my lunch break, instead of talking to everybody about what we were going to do on the weekends, I went in my car and I would just get really intentional. And I have ADHD, so it was not the easiest thing to do, but I would just do it. And I just knew at the end of the night that if I didn't have these things done, I love sleep and I wasn't going to let myself go to sleep. And honestly, it happened yesterday to me. So like even Bella went to her dad's last night and I could have went to bed at like 8, how amazing, and got a restful night's sleep. But I screwed off during the afternoon a little bit. I had some things that I needed to do end of month. And so I sacrificed, you know, and then waking up early today. So you just really have to plan exactly what it is that you're going to do and understand that when it's time to go do that thing, okay, when it's, I'm not going to lie, when I go do interviews, I'm like, and then I have so much fun doing it like this, like being on someone's podcast. But up until it, you're like, oh, but when you go, you're 90% of the time, you're not going to want to do it. It sounds all great. You're going to meet a friend on a Thursday night and you're having dinner and you're like, God, I hope she cancels.
Exactly.
But then you go and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I came and I feel so much better. Like that's normal for the gym. So once I found out that the way that I was feeling was normal, you just realize that I want to be willing to do what it is that successful people are willing to do. Unsuccessful people are not willing to do what successful people are willing to do. So you really have to come up with exactly in the carving of your day when you're doing it. You just moved in. When are you packing? When are you doing your invites? When are you having your content? When I first started doing this every Sunday, I'd put 6 different shirts on and create content. I put different outfits on. Like I knew that that would save me that much more time. I knew that if I just woke up 1 hour prior to Bella doing it one time, oh my gosh, like my personal development in the morning was so much better. And honestly, I do these kind of things because when I don't do them, the way I feel when I don't do them is worse than if I were to just go to bed and not get them done. The guilt, the what it causes, just what it does to my results, and it's just not worth it.
Well, you have a very strong, you're very conscientious. I remember in Cabo, we both went a trip with our company and you had the suite and the concierge and everything, but you would not leave the room until you had 75 reach outs. I mean, who does that? Like you're so disciplined. Usually when people win a trip from their sales or their results, they're like, ah, I finally get to kick back. You're still going for it. So
but I always feel like I get to kick back.
Well, that's what you do. Like I kind of think of my schedule as like a HIIT training class intervals, right? You do the high interval of making your reach outs and then you get to kick back and celebrate. And I think that you do that to the extreme.
Yeah. My biggest fear is, you know, going back in my past life where I was once living on 2 mattresses stacked together on a piece of plywood with nails sticking out of it and my house being boarded up at 18 when I, you know, my parents let our house go in foreclosure, like all those little steps when the dominoes effects happens, I just would rather be the person that it's so hard when you put that 30 pounds on losing it. It's like, I'd rather just, you know what I mean, do a little bit each day of laundry and a little bit of cleaning of each room instead of having to spend 7 hours cleaning. So if you just do a little bit, all I told myself was, listen, you don't have to go live on this trip. Listen, you don't have to do reels. Listen, all you need to do is reach out to 75 people. That is it. That's
it. More than most people reach out to in a month.
I know. You know what though? I did it from the treadmill. So when I was working out, thank gosh, I didn't fall. I would just do it while I was doing my jog anyways. So I killed 2 birds with 1 stone. And when you do something that you say you're going to do, the confidence it brings to you feels so good versus the self-esteem and confidence I used to have back in the day.
So true. Well, this has been a great interview. I know my listeners are going to want to follow you, listen to your breakfast show. How can people reach you and what do you have coming up?
Yeah. So on Instagram, it's Michelle Churchill Fit with 3 T's, kind of a nightmare, right? But I kept getting shut down. So MICHELLE Fit, FITTT. And then on Facebook, it is Michelle Lynn Dworak. And we have a Rank Up, Bank Up 6-week bootcamp coming up. I partnered with the legend, John Melton. It's for anyone, any business, any type, any product, any service. And basically everything Rebecca and I covered today, from objections, from growth, to leads, to pipelines, to the follow-up, each session, we break that down. So that actually, that VIP, be the very first person to know when that comes out, which it's looking like it's going to be sometime into April. That VIP has been open, so you can get on the list and be the first person to be enrolled. So that's coming. It's called Rank Up, Bank Up. I'm sure they can put in the comments VIP, or somehow we can attach to the episode the VIP link.
We will do that. Well, everybody, this has been another amazing episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. Thank you, Michelle, for being
here.
To my friend. And I can't wait to see you next week at the event in Houston. We're going to have so much fun. And thank you, listeners, for going on this journey with me. We are now a global presence, top 1% global, globally ranked show. Keep sharing this with your friends. Keep spreading the message that you can be successful and happy without the burnout and the overwhelm. Thank you for people listening on the radio as well. And we will see you next week with another amazing guest. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.